All right, there we go. So first order of business, we can do the Pledge Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Check if we have quorum. We have quorum. I'm not sure we have quorum yet. Six. We have quorum. We're good. Okay. Thank you. Some of us are in school and some of us are still are virtual in, but I was counting in both areas. All right. So I guess the first order of business is Val on the line. Let's see. Val, I think Val said she had something going on. Why don't we hold on public comments until the end? Val should be on. She said she was running a little bit late. So we'll hold on public comments until the end. So if anybody has any public comments, either email them to Val or put them in the chat and we'll get them by the end of the meeting. First order of business is approval of previous minutes. We have three sets of minutes, September 16th, December 29th, and January 8th. Does anybody have any questions about either of those minutes?
They looked fine to me.
Everybody hear us okay? If anybody can't, just give us a note in the comments. Okay, so can we get a motion to approve the minutes from September 16th, January 21st, and January 8th?
I'll move to approve the minutes for September 16th, January 8th, and what's the third date?
This January 21st.
January 21st.
We have a second.
December 29th.
December 29th.
January 21st is today.
I'll second.
You'll second it. Second. Paul seconds it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, so the meeting minutes are approved. We can have those posted to the website. Next order of business has a school report, Elias.
Can I have somebody share it for me? Marianne, could you do the screen sharing for me?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Will you send it to me?
I shared it with you already. I shared it with the whole board.
Oh. Hello.
Hello. Good morning. Good afternoon.
So nice to see everyone.
You too.
It's visible. Yeah, I see it. That's great. Thank you. I'm going to still work from the document though, not from the screen over there. Okay, so welcome everybody. Happy New Year. We're going to get started over here. So we have highlighted four major school priorities. One of them is to create consensus regarding the reopening of the school, negotiate an agreement for staff testing, return staff and students to school as of January 19th. The second goal we had is to establish Odyssey Charter School as a certified antigen testing center, identify the school's positive testing rate for teachers, staff, and students as a baseline. Our third school priority was to establish relationships with stakeholders, staff, and the board of directors. And the fourth was to conduct initial professional developments, setting the vision of the school and establishing a unified set of values. With respect to priority one, three things to keep in mind. The staff and the union were able to come to agreement on terminology around strongly encouraging testing. That has led to some positive results. So what you can see in the data table to the right of that is that currently, or as of the 21st, which is today, we have 125 individuals who have been tested with a 0% positivity rate thus far among staff. Staff have returned to work at a very encouraging rate as a result of the safety measures that the school has undertaken. And students have been required to take a negative test within 1 week prior to the scheduled return date, and I have some data on that as well. As you can see from the students, we have tested in the lower school, 90 students have tested overall. One is awaiting a test result. In the intermediate school, it's at 91. The middle school is at 81. The high school is at 55. 317 total are tested. Out of these, the data reflects the cohorts that we have already opened up to, which is K3, 6 in the high school. So the total students signed up and have been given the test. Oh yeah, yeah, scrolling down a little bit. We're gonna go back and forth up and down this document. It's a 317 and a 333, which is the numbers that you can see. That's a 95% have been tested. You'll see some of the reasons for some individuals that haven't been tested. They basically fall into one category. If we remove the amount that cannot be tested, we're testing at a 97.8% rate. We conducted approximately 400 tests so far with 3 positive test results, which means that our positivity test rate is well under 1%. These are all encouraging signs for the school to have the baseline for its reopening and a strong indication that we were in a position to be able to open the school. If you look in priority one on the left side where it says HS, that stands for high school. 59 students signed up and 51 out of the 59 have attended thus far. Of those 8 who did not attend, the 7 did not have their COVID test completed and did not return. The other one was absent. On February 2nd, there will be a total of 2 cohorts, grand total of 92 kids, which is about 33% of the high school population returning. The middle school, as of 1/19, 49 students signed up, 44 out of 49 attended. Of the 5 that did not attend, 4 did not have their COVID test completed. So we can definitely see what the trend is here. 1/21, which is today, cohort B, 47 students signed up, 45 out of 47 attended. Of the 2 that did not attend, one did not have the COVID test. In total, we have 48% of the 6th grade that's attended. On this week of the 25th coming up, we have 88 students returning between both cohorts, anticipate about a 50.3% attendance rate. So for 7th grade, we'll be at about 47% by the 1st of February, which is next week. In the intermediate school, we scroll to the second page, you'll see our opening day, Tuesday, January the 19th, 49 students signed up, 44 out of 49 attended. Of the 5, 1 did not have a COVID test completed. Our third grade total for both cohorts is about 50%. And then 41% of the 4th graders signed up for the week of 1/25 and 54% of the 5th graders signed up for the week of 2/1. So our operations are scaling up slowly as we anticipate to be the case. On Monday, for the lower school, 49 out of 53 registered cohort A kindergarten students attended in person. On Thursday, 44 out of 47 registered for cohort B and 1 non-kindergarten student with the complex needs. Of the 7 absences that we had, only 1 was related to the absence because of a negative COVID test in this case. So approximately 51% of the total kindergarten will be back or is back already. Now, going over to the last column over here that you see on the far right of priority one, there are 259 total active OCS employees, full and part-time, as of today, and 25 monitors. 25 total staff members are working remotely for various reasons, including ADA, FMLA, quarantine, and it's broken down by groups below that, 21 educators, four others, one admin assistant, one bus driver, two administrators. 86% of the academic staff on site has reported, 96% of other staff on site have reported. Overall, we have a 90% rate of Odyssey Charter staff reporting to work as of today. So all of these are very encouraging signs for us moving forward. I suppose I'll pause for questions here on agenda item one, or should we just continue through on priority one?
Yeah, I don't have any questions. Are there for some of the staff members that are not attending now, are there plans for them to come back? Were they on short term, let's say, like FMLA?
There's various, they ranges. Okay. Some are short term, some are in the process of getting their ADA or trying to qualify for FMLA.
Okay.
Has there been any conversation?
Has there been any conversation on the frequency that students would be expected to test?
I'm going to get to that in the next priority. It's coming up. Okay. So I'll jump on that in just a couple seconds. So on the priority two, one of my first actions was to try to get us to be a certified testing center. And we were able to get an application flipped and submitted and certified in 24 hours. Unprecedented, it's typically taking 3 to 4 weeks. It was a huge undertaking by our school to get that done. And we appreciate the collaboration that was necessary for that to occur. Currently, testing for staff occurs on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Testing for students occurs on Wednesdays for the cohort that's returning the following week. So we can get the data in our hands. Now, this relates to what Marianne said. Establishing our school as a long-term certified testing center is currently our challenge. We are authorized for one round of testing right now. Once we're certified, we will create a protocol around the frequency of testing. At this time, most likely we're looking at something around a 2 to 3 week turnaround on testing. The reason for that is because it's logistically speaking, it doesn't seem like we can do it at any faster pace than that. So the testing frequency could increase though, if in a particular building or in a particular cohort, we see different, you know, transmission rates. So if the transmission rates are higher, then we may do more testing, focused testing that particular area. I'm working in conjunction with Kendall Massett from the Charter Schools Division, who is advocating for us to have a clinic certify us as a school, in addition to other charter schools, because this is not a problem that's unique to Odyssey. There are other charter schools that are having the same problem with certification. Kendall did reassure us that we should not have a problem anyway, that it's just, you know, the bureaucratic components that we have to deal with, but that we should be okay. She feels very confident that we'll be able to forge this relationship. So we've also reached out to other community members. I know that Elias has been, spearheading that component to see if we can get a private physician to help us out within the community as well. So that will be our backup plan should Kendall's plan not go through. But we do anticipate, we have full confidence that everything is going to be fine with that.
So can you just explain what the term
It's still going to stay within what we're doing here for now until we see what our capabilities are long term for that. But for now, at least we would be able to have an enclosed on-site facility where we can monitor our rates. And this is particularly significant for us because, the community overall has been clamoring for us to ramp up our reopening efforts. And we have a baseline, but we do not know the impact of our return on infection rates. So I would need to have another round of testing done to see, well, how are we doing? And that way we would have a better idea of how quickly we can ramp up our return rates as a school. All of us want to reopen the school and get all the kids back, but we want to always put the safety first. So that's where we currently stand with those particular items. Okay, moving on to priority number three. One of the big priorities that we had is to try to start establishing relationships. So first and foremost, I created a Calendly schedule and opened up times for 1 week that I blocked out for one-on-one appointments with board members and scheduled many of them. And to date, I've already met one-on-one with 73% of the board. My goal is to have met with all board members one-on-one by February 1st. I've also attended academic meetings at the school. I've attended senior leadership meetings with our team. I've attended several levels of stakeholders, including food service, operations, and dean's meetings. I've met with special education. I've met with DE&I, which is our diversity and inclusion, diversity, equity, and inclusion group. I've met with Angela Bowen as well. I've had the pleasure of also working with the Delaware Charter School Network, Kendall Mastit. I've met with Gregory Meese several times. I've met State Representative Mike Smith. We've met with EPP reps who are helping us with our equity initiative in the school. I actually met with our individual rep today to formulate our vision, our long-term vision for being an anti-racist school moving forward. And we'll work with Fourth Dimensions to do that. I met with the Salesianum Athletics Director to have collaborations with our sports programs so that we would have opportunities to play sports irrespective of where the state is on the development. I've met with investors, and we have an investors call coming up next week, Wells Fargo and Peter. I met with Gateway Labs for Building 27 Project and community members, including local churches, to garner interest in the long-term plan and vision of the school. So, and part of my 90-day plan was to make sure that I started to network the school outwardly facing and establish our school as, you know, one of the most important community partners in the Northern Wilmington area. So that's where I've been focusing my attentions in the last couple of weeks. Fourth priority, delivering opening professional development to all staff, sending out an opening letter to stakeholders, head of schools coffee and chats with board members beginning on January 28th. Some of you may have already received meeting invitations for that. Thank you, Marianne, for your help in spearheading this operation for us and getting this all going. I delivered the first professional development for all our stakeholders on Wednesday, and we had 95% of participants who were actively engaged. You can measure active engagement when you're doing Zoom polls because it tells you how many people are answering every question. So that's really good news for us because it means that people are listening to what we're saying, and that's good. I also got feedback from the staff, and Marianne was able to get specific feedback from the staff, which was fantastic. I've included some sample responses here on how they felt about it. We were able to use the opportunity not only to create a unified message, but we also were able to show some very quick techniques that you can use when you're on Zoom calls to increase engagement among students and stakeholders. We also were able to create a back to Odyssey video. If you haven't seen it yet, it's a really cool little video about what things look like. We got a lot of positive feedback on that as well, because one of the things that we heard from our staff was, oftentimes they don't get to see what other buildings are doing or what the whole thing is. And so part of my initiatives to make sure that we all understand that we're all the same Odyssey family together. And there's a lot of great things going on in all of our buildings, and we should definitely be aware of those things. My last thing that I have to say was not necessarily one of the priorities on my head of school list of things to do, but we did want to provide an update on the high school and college data updates. So we have a total of 180 applications as of yesterday to college. The percent of the class of 2021 applying to at least one college is 67%. This is running about 17% higher than it was last year at this time. My goal is to have it at 100%. So let's see how close we can get to that. 18% of the students have reported merit scholarship grant awards, totaling over $675,000 and scholarships thus far. 83% of our applicants have been accepted to at least one college, which is a good news. It's a good start for us. And we've had 60 acceptances across 9 states, including Delaware, Pennsylvania, Florida, New Jersey, Virginia, New York, Massachusetts, Texas, and North Carolina. Our FAFSA completion rate's currently at 53%. We will work diligently to try to get all of the kids to complete their FAFSA. Oftentimes when our FAFSA numbers are not where we want them to be, it's because parents don't understand that it's advantageous. They think that it's applying for loans, and we have to work hard to change that misconception that it's only about loans. A lot of FAFSA is about the free money that we're getting. So we're going to work hard with our counselors to make sure that we make sure that perception is not the case. But we are trending higher than local and nationally numbers for FAFSA this year. They're all down because of COVID. Oh, FAFSA is the federal, it's the federal application for student money, basically for money for college. So there's, it's where you go for loans, but you also get a lot of grants and scholarships through FAFSA. So, and it's based on your effective family contribution, which is basically, it's based on your tax returns at that point. But a lot of students will think that, well, just because I'm in this particular tax bracket or my parents have this job, that you can't qualify for FAFSA. Number one, that's not true generally. Number two, each university approaches FAFSA differently. So depending on where you apply, you could have an EFC that's a little bit higher, but the university could still offer you quite a bit. So that's why you have to complete your FAFSAs. It's a really, really important piece. I just actually was interfacing with some students that got into the University of Arizona. It's a very expensive school. But it was interesting because apparently due to COVID, they have a reduction in applications this year. So they're offering more free money. And you wouldn't know that if you didn't apply for your FAFSA and go through the process. So I applaud Ashley for having that data for us and for pushing the high school forward to get us to that point where we are right now. So I suppose I'll end on this part by just saying that you can expect to have an executive summary like this every time that we have a session, and I will include specific items that are priorities in the short term so that we can share with our stakeholders every time. There are some, and I didn't get a chance on this one to provide the next steps, but I can kind of speak to what we're moving on to next. Obviously, we want to ramp up our reopening efforts in the schools safely, but we want to ramp them up. And we want to expand our programming offerings. I know that there's a large need for after school and before school programming, and also our sports program. We want to make and extracurriculars, getting all of those launched once again. On another note, there are a lot of things that we want to look at right now. It's enrollment season as a school, so we're working with our team to create promotional videos in order to promote the school. Specifically, some of the areas where we can really benefit from higher enrollment, like in the high school, and trying to prevent the attrition that we have going from eighth grade into ninth grade. So we have some strategies in place to do that. I've met with the high school dean about this, and we are also putting together a task force that will use students to our advantage as well. And we will empower students to be some of our best advocates for the school. Moving forward, it is our intent to make sure that we move to much higher than 40%, our 40% conversion rate that we currently have for eighth grade. It's a high priority for us. So we are working on that as well right now to make sure that that happens. We're also going to be looking at the building level budgets and the matrices for next year, which is basically what are our offerings going to be and how are the classes going to look and what are the needs of the schools, and doing a needs assessment of the entire school to figure out what are going to be our priorities moving forward going into the next academic year. We have a special education review coming up, so we need to prepare for that. I believe they're happening, the audits are happening in February and March this year. And so those are the big ticket things that are going to come up next. Mm-hmm.
Just a quick question on, I guess, item two, the COVID testing that we did this week for students coming in next week. I didn't catch, how are we on getting most of those, all the students that are coming in next week to do the testing or to provide testing results?
I don't have the results yet because the tests happened yesterday. Okay. So, but it doesn't seem, we can only base ourselves on what happened with cohort one, and it looks like we're trending at, over 95% of the kids are taking these tests. So I anticipate to have the same numbers. I haven't heard anything otherwise.
I was looking more for, have we gotten 100% of the students to take the testing?
Well, I think we're going to have just the same scenarios. Again, a couple kids who didn't come test. But what we're anticipating is, and what we saw is that as the days pass, it's a little bit easier for the kids to get the test because they, number one, the families know that this is the protocol now. So it's more likely that they're going to be able to get it. And number two, we're getting a little bit more efficient. And then number three, the families can plan a little bit better knowing week to week that this is happening. So I anticipate to have good data for that too, but we don't have it quite yet. They're still tabulating.
Mm-hmm. That's an impressive first 2 weeks, I have to say.
So next up on the list was the Greek program report. Is Marina online?
Can I ask a question?
I was trying to say something.
Oh.
We couldn't hear you properly.
I don't know why. Can you hear me now?
Say it again.
Is there any information you could share, Mr. Pappas, regarding vaccinations of staff members? Anything that we don't know, maybe?
Yeah, I can share a little bit on this. There was a survey that was sent out to all stakeholders, and we're ready to move into phase two right now. 1B, the 1B employees, and the state has designated 1B employees over the age of 65 as the top priority right now. So you can anticipate that they're going to be the first ones to be able to test. Now, I believe that we sent the link out to Odyssey All. I saw it earlier. If you click on it and you're above the age of 65, you will be able to go through the process, but it doesn't guarantee you're going to get an appointment quite yet, because they haven't really issued those. It is their hope that they will be able to issue over 11,000 vaccinations in the next week. We do know, and you may have heard this from President Biden yesterday, that there is a national shortage, and the president has ordered that all vaccines are distributed and nothing be stockpiled. So it is our hope that, using that precedent, we will be able to get them out. Now, the Delaware Charter Network and the state agencies have indicated to us that we're going to prioritize groups over 65 first, and then folks that have underlying conditions. Then the next would be the teachers and the staff that's immediately working with students. And then phase three, which they indicated to us this morning, was that board members that have connections with schools will also qualify for them as well. So for example, I have board members that are sitting in this room with me right now, so they would qualify because they're interfacing with the school specifically. So that's where we are right now with it. It's pretty good news. They have set a goal to have folks vaccinated in the first couple of weeks of February. But again, there are still obstacles to overcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from board members? For Elias Pappas. Okay, so next up on the list, Greek program report. Marina, do you have an update?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good evening, everybody. So I have announcements to make, and all of them concern middle school and high school students. So the first one is about the Elinomathi exams, which were supposed to take place in May 2020, but as we know, due to the pandemic, these were held this past October. The majority of OCS candidates decided to postpone taking the exams, and they're going to take them in May 2021. However, we had two OCS students who chose to sit the exams, have successfully passed them, and have received their certificates of attainment in Greek. So we would like to congratulate Josiah Walcott, 7th grade, and Nicoletta Dougherty, 9th grade. We also extend our congratulations to their teachers, Mrs. Anna Stupaki and Mrs. Christina Vlasaridis. The second announcement concerns a project that was launched in December 2020 between our 7th and 8th graders with middle school students in Pierce College, Athens, Greece. And the collaboration takes place after the two schools signed an MOU in November 2020. We would like to thank Georgia Nicolaou and Ioana Lekaku because it is so difficult to encourage those students while remote schooling, while they're doing the remote schooling, and it is very difficult to encourage them to participate in such projects. However, we had a huge participation and we are very happy that they connected and collaborated with students in Greece. And the project is continuing after January 2021. The last announcement is the announcement for the applications of the high school summer program at the Center for Hellenic Studies, Harvard University in Greece. These are going to open on February 1st. The summer program, as you know, is an innovative program for high school seniors conducted in English. It offers scholarships to the participating students from all disciplines with a mission to enrich and broaden their educational horizons and cultivate their way of thinking, their knowledge, and their skills. For the last 3 years, the Center for Hellenic Studies, Harvard University in Afplio, has reserved a seat for one senior high school student from Odyssey Charter School. We should note that OCS is the only high school in the United States which has been granted this fantastic opportunity. So we are looking forward to receiving applications this year from our high school seniors for the summer program 2021. Thank you. I don't know if we have any questions.
Thank you, Marina. Anyone have any questions?
Not a question, but I just would like to ask Dr. Mathiodakis to tell us a little bit about the bicentennial of the Greek independence this year.
So, thank you for the question. This year is the 200th, we are celebrating the anniversary of the Greek independence in 1821. So 200 years. And the Greek state has launched a series of events that are going to commemorate this event. And they're going to celebrate it not only in Greece, but also in all the countries of the world where Greeks live and there are Greek communities. So we have already started organizing and trying to put together several events that are not only for the Greek independence, but for the concept of independence and for the celebration of independence in various countries of the world. And so we want to give the opportunity to our students, which is a multicultural community per se, and they are going to participate in those events. We want to give them the opportunity not only to celebrate with us the Independence Day, but also to understand through those celebrations what the meaning of independence is for everybody and for all citizens of all countries. So we're looking forward to welcoming ideas from all teachers and staff administration of OCS, because we want to celebrate this day with you to involve and engage everybody and to celebrate it in a multicultural way, not only in the Greek way.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Marina.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, next up, campus operations report. Ricardo, do you have a campus operations report?
Good afternoon, good evening, everybody. With regards to campus operations, all the teams are working in support to the relaunch of school operations. And this transition to the reopening is running very smoothly. More noteworthy, we concluded the closeout of the Building 23 retrofit with Commonwealth. And as you recall, we had a 326,000 GMP, guaranteed maximum price contract with them. And the project closed out almost 10% under budget at about $296,000. So we've progressed to, successfully completing the project in a timely fashion and completing it under the agreed upon budget. The teams are, continuing to ramp up. I am meeting with the different leaders, starting to talk about budget priorities for for the coming year. We also had teed up with regards to transportation. The contract, I believe, Elias has shared with the board the rollover of the Santander contract. We had a 3-year lease with Santander and for 3 buses that were purchased or leased at the time in December of 2017 when we first launched phase 1 of the transportation program. And so this month, the lease comes to an end and we made the decision to roll it over to a 3-year purchase agreement at highly subsidized rates of approximately 2.1%. I believe this has been shared and would need to be signed off by the board president after a vote to accept the recommendation to proceed, since we do have to then step into the new agreement with the bank. So those are the key elements at this point in time of the operations report.
Thank you, Ricardo. Any questions from anyone? Okay, next up, monthly financial review. Jeff, are you going to give that?
Yep. Good evening, OCS board and the rest of the OCS community. Let me pull up our presentation. And I'm going to walk through the normal figures we look at, and then I'm going to go over some of the additional summary reports to put a little context into what we're looking at here. So to date, revenues collected are just north of $28 million, which represents a little over 87% of the budget. Noteworthy for this month, the final payments for the local funding that we get from the other districts were finalized and processed. We still expect a final true up with the state sometime this month or possibly early, I think most likely by the end of this month for other smaller odds and ends, but for the most part, our state and local revenues would have been received by the end of this month. Outside of that, we received one of the final payments to one of our federal grants and normal rent and contract revenues. On the expenditure side, expenditures to date are $15.5 million and with encumbrances of $202,000. Representing 54% of the budget, which is in line with where we are through the year at 50%. And this is the web report. Some other notes I had on some of the expense side. The monthly projection, I'm including the costs associated with the supplemental substitute and monitor services to support the reopening of in-person instruction, which covers January, February, and March. Beyond there, I think we'll need to know a little bit more about, you know, sort of the situation and the programming and, you know, what effect the vaccine may have on some of that aspects. There's still additional costs and programming with the reopening that's going to be added to future projections as they materialize. Big news that came through yesterday regarding additional grants is that CARES Act Round 2 has been awarded to the charter, to the schools throughout the state. And, you know, as estimated, based on our Title I students, we are receiving approximately $870,000 for CARES Act Round 2. So things that can cover are previous expenses, just like CARES Act Round 1, going all the way back to last March. It can include capital expenditures, professional services, technology, mental health services. It is specified for certain things related to the pandemic, but there definitely be costs that we've included in our projections that would qualify to be recoded to that new bucket of funding, which would then assist us on the bottom line. Real quick, I'm going to bring up the other report that I was going to look at. So last month, I introduced a prior year actual to current year projected figures. But this month, I added another page similarly summarized that takes our 2021 preliminarily approved budget and compares it against where we are currently projecting. So right now, we're currently projecting to the good about 520,000. Again, that does not include the CARES Act Round 2 funding, because that news just broke yesterday. So right now, the projected year-end cash on hand is approximately $4.1 million. And on a cash basis, remember, just cash basis, the investors report projects a 1.37 debt coverage ratio, of which the covenant is 1.1, and 58.76 estimated days of cash on hand, and the covenant 60 days at year end. So I'm going to pull back up the web report for when you guys are ready to vote on that. Any questions, be happy to answer to the best of my ability.
So Jeff, to put it in more simple terms, are we better off or worse off than we were last year, same time?
Comparatively to the budget, I think we're trending better. You know, part of that, and we're gonna work now that the state and local funding is pretty close to being finalized. I think it's expected sometime towards the end of next month, possibly by the next board meeting, we would present a final budget that's going to take all of that stuff into consideration, because, you know, a lot of when we put together the preliminary budget are estimates, and some of that has come to fruition and we have a better idea, especially now knowing that some of the costs that we incurred, including, you know, the bipolar ionization to the HVAC and all these additional costs, we're most likely going to be able to recoup in some capacity with CARES Act Round 2. So yes, we're trending better, and there's, you know, I don't want to count my chickens, but there is a chance that we don't wind up deficit spending this year, which we did wind up deficit spending last year.
That's extremely good news.
Yes.
Very good news. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to you know, take the chance to thank Elias Pappas for his support to our efforts in the business office and the collaboration that we have working for the 2022 budget is going to be really great for the first, basically him and I's first budget. So we look forward to that.
Thank you, Jeff. And I'd like to add that there at the state level, we're getting some good indications that the governor's final budget approval will not indicate serious reductions in funding. which is good news for us in the long term, putting together next year's budget. So it's a testament to the team that's been working hard to look through everything with a fine-tooth comb, make sure we're coding things correctly, making sure we are very careful of the way that we determine how we're spending our money, and making sure that we are fiscally responsible and transparent in all of our processes. So I really appreciate the collaboration. We're doing very, very well. Good progress, guys. Thank you.
Any other questions for Jeff on the budget? Someone's upset about how much money we're spending.
Come on, I thought we were doing good.
So we just need a motion to post the monthly summary. Can I have a motion to post the monthly budget summary?
I'll second it.
January and Mary with a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes. Next up, CBOC. Was there a CBOC meeting this month, Paul?
There.
Give a quick summary.
I will.
All right. So we voted to make Evan Winokur chairman. Congratulations, Evan. Any other major updates? Or Evan, do you want to give us a quick rundown of the CBOC meeting?
Just real quick, we reviewed the financials like you just did. We questioned a number of items. I did want to finalize by saying thank you to Paul. Paul has served as the CBOC chair for 6 years now. He has passed the baton to me, and I will be here doing that CBOC report. Paul, we really appreciate the time you've put in, and we wish you much success at the board level. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Evan, and thank you, Paul, for all your years of service on the CBOC to the school. It's very much appreciated. Next up, do we have any reports from the PTO or updates from the PTO?
So I don't think Kaya is here, but she did ask me to say this on behalf of the PTO, that the PTO is currently looking for a small website building company to build a new website for the PTO, and that they're reaching out to friends and family of Odyssey to see if anybody is interested in helping us, helping them in the process. And then she said, please, if you know of anyone or if you know how to build websites, to reach out to them at Odyssey Charter School, PTO@gmail.com. And that Ozzy and Build Your Owl fundraiser starts today. And you can purchase Ozzy at the OCS PTO Square site. And that's it. Any questions?
Thank you, Marianne. Yes, next up is committee reports. Why don't we start with the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee? Helen or Eva, do you have any updates?
Yes. So we are happy to congratulate the first five EPP staff members who are almost completing their training. We are very excited about that. And we are fortunate enough to be able to add another five. I'll announce the names Helen and I decided upon. We have from the lower school / Greek department, Nikki Tandalou. We have from the intermediate school, Amber Smith. From the middle school, Karen Brin. From the high school, Meredith Hooper. And from transportations, we have Victoria Helms. So we are very fortunate, very excited to be able to send another five members. For those who don't know what the EPP is, it stands for Equity Practitioners Program, and it's sponsored by a company that's called Fourth Dimension. So what they do is pretty much a graduate class, I think, or at least college level class. They get the information, the skills, the resources they need to lead initiatives towards a more equitable environment, more equitable school community. So that's about the EPP. We're gonna have the next committee meeting on February 2nd, Tuesday, February 2nd. We're gonna post it over the weekend, and we are gonna invite, of course, Mr. Pappas to join us and re-energize our committee. One of our subcommittees has been extremely active, and that's the outreach committee, which is bittersweet. It's good that we have a very active committee and we can do so much good, but also it's sad to see how much need there is these days. So anybody who wants to contribute to our committee, you can either bring food, dry goods, or even money. Paula and I go shopping every weekend. We have been able to open the pantry repeatedly over the past weeks. And once a month, we've been able to also donate food outside of our community. We received two wonderful thank you letters that I will turn into Mr. Pappas from this program that is called FISH, F-I-S-H, Fellowship in Serving the Hungry. We gave them food baskets monthly. So that's all.
Thank you so much for that information. We look forward to pushing forward our Equity Practitioners Program and really setting that as the stage for the forefront of us becoming a diverse and equitable school. I did have a meeting today, and we talked with some of your representatives about setting the vision for the school, the mission statement. So when we meet on February 2nd, we'll start putting all of that together. So I look forward to our collaboration.
Thank you.
I just want to add one more thing to what Eva was saying about the FISH donating to that. The Green Team has also donated quite a bit to them. So just wanted to put it out there that our school is doing a lot of charity work.
Thank you, Eva and Helen. I just wanted to comment too that Elias and I did participate in the EPP graduation. So it was great hearing the stories and the work that our five initial participants went through, and we're very impressed with the program. We're excited to have five new participants going in that. So it'll be a really worthwhile endeavor, and bringing that back to the school, I think, will be pretty powerful and incredible. We're also in the process of launching DE&I training as well too for the board and the senior leadership in the coming weeks. So Elias and I are working on scheduling that and getting the senior leadership involved as well too. So we'll be working on that, and mostly you'll be getting a notification in the next few days about how that's going to be laid out as well too. So thank you all for that. Next up, fundraising. Georgia or Mary Ann, did you have any updates on the fundraising?
Good evening. I'll give a little update, and then Mary Ann, if she'd like to add. So we haven't met yet this year. We're working on collating all the different fundraising activities that have gone on previously in the school to get a total picture. And then we hope to, post our next meeting and move forward. So Mary Ann, was there anything else that maybe I missed about our
I think that's pretty much captured everything, Georgia. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Well, we took a brief hiatus over the winter, but we plan on resuming our meetings in February with Mr. Pappas, who I don't think he's going to be getting any sleep because it sounds like he's on every single committee that's been coming across. So we'll give you a heads up once we resume. I think the first, it's going to be probably the first, I think we're starting on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock. So it's probably the first Wednesday, the third maybe. Yeah, 1 o'clock. I haven't posted it yet, but I should be doing that shortly.
Do we have anything on the Communications Committee updates, Marianne?
No updates on communications. We have writers, always use more writers. There's a lot going on at school, and we're not able, or even if you have.
No, I'm on. Sorry, can you guys hear me now? Okay. Just that, you know, if we have any writers who want to be part of the communications committee, we're always in need of writers. And recently there was an article published about Mr. Pappas coming in as our head of school. So, you know, and if you have any connections with the media, you know, there are a lot of good things happening at school, and we're not able to do enough justice to get the word out.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. May I add, first of all, thank you, Marianne, for all of your efforts on that behalf. And when we're talking about communication, sometimes we look at the lens of only how we're outwardly messaging to our community, but communication also has another bucket to it that I really want us to focus on, and that's the marketing of the school. All of us who are individuals at the school want to see the school succeed, and so I'm actually going to post a challenge to all of us today, and that challenge is to, for each of us in this meeting right now, and as it stands right now, there are 69 participants, to find one student that will apply and enroll in Odyssey Charter. I'm going to set that challenge for all of us because I believe that if we all work as agents, proud agents of the school that we are supporting, we will have no problem with the future of the school. And if each of us are able to get one student to enroll in this school, that will have a tremendous impact on what we're able to do with our programming moving forward. There are a lot of building projects that we want. We want to have a gym very, very soon. We want to redo our field. We want to make it very attractive. We want to walk around over here and make it look like you're a beautiful private school with all the facilities that everybody else has. And we are fortunate enough to be in a charter school network where the infrastructure has been put in place for us that we have facilities to work with. Many charter schools struggle tremendously because they do not have these kind of facilities. And we actually do have facilities, and we're very, very close to where we want to be. So I believe that all of us collectively together can really push us to the next level. So yeah, I agree with you. I want to see a track. I want to see a field. I want to see a beautiful logo in the middle of the grass over there that says Odyssey Charter, and that people come in here and they're like, wow, look at this place. And we have the facility. We have the facilities in place. We just need to all rally together and get the rest of it done. So I'm really, really going to ask that we all become ambassadors for the school. We have a new marketing plan coming out. If you know individuals that can help us with marketing, with rebranding, with getting the word out in the community, we'd greatly appreciate it. You want to welcome people to come to the school, they can email me or call me. We can do tours, press releases, whatever they want. We can show off our kids, our Green Initiative program, our Greek immersion program, our academic performance, our high school kids doing what they're doing. There's so many great things going on at the school. So we'd love to start showing that off. And if you could help me in this, I'd greatly appreciate it, because I know that we have enough people on this call to get things moving to where we want them to go. So thank you again, Marianne, for your efforts. And I know that we're gonna really succeed in this department too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Elias. Any other comments or questions about committees from anybody on the board? Did we miss anything? Okay, next up is new business. We had an item in there. Ricardo mentioned it earlier, transportation. So we had three. I'll do a quick summary and you can add in if I miss anything. But we have three buses coming off a lease. These are the three initial RC buses that we purchased. And we have three options. One, we can just turn them in. Option two, we can release them. Or option three, we can buy them. And we're going with option three, which is purchasing the three buses. And I think the cost is $49.65 a month for the three versus the $42.21 we were paying for a lease, I believe, which is about $744 a month more to just purchase the buses straight out over 3 years. So that's the recommendation from the administration, is to roll the expiring lease over into a purchase agreement with Santander Bank. Did I miss anything on that, Ricardo? Or Evan?
No,
I think as a summary, it's you're spot on, Elias.
Okay, thank you. Anybody on the board have any questions about rolling over onto a purchase agreement for the buses? All right, so do we have a motion to approve putting together a lease, a purchase package for the buses? Anyone motion? Okay.
I move to approve the purchase package for the buses.
We have a second?
Second.
Paul seconds. Any discussion?
Just out of curiosity, what's the lifespan of a bus? How many years are the buses? Are the buses that we're purchasing already have been in use?
Evan, you want to take that one or you take it?
Sure, I got that one. Transportation. The buses are in the state of Delaware, can be utilized for 14 years. Right now we've utilized them for three, so we have 11 more years. So after 14 years, we have to retire that bus. Now, the positive part on that is that we can create that bus into a spare bus or an athletic bus. It's something I've been asking for a hot minute now, because we do have so many athletics. We do have so many other runs that we utilize. So due to the maintenance that we're doing on the buses, these buses are, to be very candid with everybody, are brand new because of the maintenance that we've been doing on them and how we're keeping up with them. So they should last well over 14 years. Now they will not become a route bus any longer, but they will become one of our spare buses for us.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Evan. So we have a motion to approve the purchase of the buses in a second. Any discussion on that? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, so the motion carries. Elias, any other business that we need, or anyone from the board, any new business comments, closing? Okay, that concludes the open portion of the meeting. We just want to thank Elias Pappas for participating in his first board meeting officially as head of school. So congratulations, welcome. Heard a lot of positive comments, and so we're excited about how things are going and where we're going. We're looking forward to a great year. Thanks for getting the school open this year. I just want to thank everybody, the teachers, the staff, the parents, the students. It's been a lot of work, but we're here. We think we've gotten the school open safely, gradually opening up each grade. So it looks like we're making some positive progress there. And you know, Elias and the staff and teachers and everyone are doing everything that they can to make sure we're operating safely, testing as often as possible, and getting the kids back into a semi-normal routine after nearly a year. So everyone's excited, and it looks like their initial opening went off very well without any major challenges. So looking forward to the next grades coming in next week and so on. So thank you everybody for all your hard work and making that happen.
Elias, real quick, I don't know if it was part of the new business, but the annual report, I do believe, needed to be voted on.
Was that, did you send that, was that sent to us as well too?
I didn't hear, I can't.
The annual report.
Oh yeah, it's sent to you, yeah.
Let me just double check that. I know it's still in, it's still, is it still in draft form?
There's just the updates that were left for the, you know, what we're talking about.
Yeah, the only thing that is pending are the, you know, the financial training that a few of our new board members have yet to complete. I did discuss that with John Carwell at the charter school office, and he agreed that we could submit the annual report with all the information we have to date, and then resubmit a, you know, the final report once we have the board financial training completed by, you know, the new board members.
Okay. What's the submission deadline for that?
The submission deadline would be tomorrow.
Okay. And when do we have an opportunity to submit the edits to that report? Is the end of this month the last day, or is tomorrow, or can we still make the tweaks to it up until when?
The, you know, the agreed upon date is, you know, usually as soon as the board approves the report, then it is submitted to you know, to the charter school office. So I would recommend that we do approve it, since it's 99.5% complete, or 99.9% complete. There's three or four dates that would have to be included there. You know, and then depending on how quickly we can get those, we can then resubmit the final report. That would be my recommendation at this point in time.
So any board members have any questions for Elias or Ricardo on the report? I know we can still make some tweaks to it. And I know it has most of it. Taking a look through it, I didn't have any questions for it for you guys. But anybody have any comments or questions on the report? Okay, then can we get a motion to approve the report to submit it to the DOE pending any minor edits that we'll make as updates?
I move to approve the annual report pending any minor updates.
You have a second?
I second it.
Thank you, Rodrigo. Any discussion or comments? Okay, ask for a vote. All in favor of approving the report?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that's approved for submission. Thank you. Thank you, Elias.
Probably clarify that to make it annual budget report when we put that.
Okay. Annual budget report, no, Anna Maria?
No, it's yeah, the entire school annual report. Okay, so other than that, I want to thank everybody. We're going to go into executive session.
Public comments,
yes. Thank you for reminding me. Okay, so we'll open the floor to public comments. I don't think Val is on. She did email a few questions. Let me pull them up. You have those as well, Elias. Let me see. There's a couple questions that came in from Val.
They come into my...
to court has been shared.
But I'm not sure if these are, when they write to court, are they meant to be read out?
Well, so these, some of the people are asking questions. Someone's regarding devices. The questions, I'll send them to Elias Pappas and make sure that he.
I have a couple of them. I can see them.
Response.
Can you just ask questions or
I can see?
Chat them.
I can respond to the ones that I have in my email. So the one question we answered it in our session. The question is regarding when we can get back to 4 days. And we talked about having, knowing the ongoing infection rate for our school, the positivity rate, before we can opt to do that. So that would be a few weeks out at least. This particular question has to do with contextualizes it with respect to vaccination. The state, the call that I was on this morning, they're not confident that they're gonna be able to get to all teachers before the end of the summer. So it could be that long before we get to everybody. So I don't know that we're necessarily gonna wait for vaccinations to make that decision. I think we're gonna follow our internal rate and see how it goes from there. And if we are continuing to trend positively, then we will continue to roll out the reopening process.
Elias, should we allow for public comments? Put it on the chat and then
we Why don't we take some public comments from the call as well too? Is there anything that you had directly on there, Marianne, that we needed to review?
No.
I have a question.
Okay. And so most of them, I know people put questions into the chat box and that gets answered by some of the staff members and administration as well too.
Public comments. There's someone.
It's more comments that you had related to actions or activities within the school or anything that you want to comment upon.
Yeah, I have a quick question.
We'll make sure that if anybody has any questions or sends any questions in, that we'll get the administration to respond to those, make sure we can provide something in our Q&A sessions. But if anybody...
Helen wants to say something.
Well, Elias, there is someone that's on the call that would like to speak. It's Sheena Robinson. I didn't hear
what she was saying. Actually, it's her husband, Travis, on her computer. So okay. Sorry for confusion.
So Travis Robinson would like to speak.
Yeah, some of the kids have had various degrees of success, working in the COVID environment, and some of them have adapted well to it, some of them haven't. Will the grades that they have this year, will they pass fail, or were they, if they did in a class, would that be on their permanent transcript during the COVID period?
What was the question generally was, are we gonna allow pass fail on transcripts, particularly for students for college or other things, or is that going to show up on their
I just don't think they should count this year because of the situation. Yeah,
I don't know that. Do we have a determination on that?
Okay, so let me answer that question. That's a very good question, and it's a heavy question. So in order for us to make the determination to go to pass-fail, we would need to ensure that wouldn't put our students at a strategic disadvantage when competing with other students to get into colleges and universities. So at this point in time, the state has not indicated whether the pass or fail is going to be a widespread accepted way for us to be able to do our applications. Now, because we are not looking at our students only from the lens of admittances into Delaware universities, but rather national, and we mentioned the fact that we were already in all these different states, it would be at this time, I would say that I would lean towards no, not doing a pass-fail, because it would create a strategic disadvantage for the students. But that is only me speaking and my personal opinion at this time with the information that's in front of me. If information is updated and changes, we may strategically end up having an advantage by having a pass-fail system. But at this time, what we've heard is that it is not going to be an advantage to do a pass-fail. And it would be better for students to indicate whether they have an A, a B, or a C in a class in order to properly give them the competitive advantage in their GPA. with other students that are trying to enter the same universities.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great point, Marianne. Not only are they not valuing it, there are many, there's an equity issue with the SAT and the ACT right now with access to SAT. For example, in some states, you've got kids driving across state lines so they can take a test because their state's not offering it at this time. And because of that, because there's widespread inconsistency with the implementation of the exams from the College Board, it is not necessarily being viewed by many colleges the best way to determine entry into the universities. So that puts a primary focus on transcripts and GPAs, which is why I would shy away from a pass-fail system without having a lot of clarity on what SATs and ACTs would look like as a distinguishing factor.
Will students be able to selectively pick classes to pass fail, or is it going to be all or none? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, well, their selection process, we're going to need a little bit more clarification before we can make that determination. For example, in round one of the pandemic, there was this opportunity where students can select the pass fail, but we don't know if that there's widespread consensus about that being okay this year. And so I am reluctant to do anything that would disadvantage our students from their opportunities. I have a lot of confidence in the staff and the teachers at Odyssey, and that we will get our kids over the finish line so that a pass-fail system wouldn't be necessary. We're going to put the focus on ourselves to make sure that kids are passing their classes. Therefore, we would want to show that they have A's and B's, and we wouldn't want to just have a pass-fail in there.
Thank you, Elias. Any other comments? Marianne, do we have any other comments?
Yes. So on January 28th, we're having a meet and greet with our new head of school. And the link to sign up for it is being sent or will be sent by all the deans today. So if you're interested in having just an informal conversation and just get to meet our new head of school, please do sign up. We'd love to just have him engage with the community in an informal level.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to ask any questions you might have that we sometimes can't address at a board meeting due to time constraints, but next week, and there'll be several other ones that are queued up as well too. So great opportunity to talk to Elias Pappas and board members and to ask questions regarding anything and everything regarding the school.
Another question.
Yeah, we spaced it out about 6 weeks at a time.
Yeah, that new shopping center coming up in front of the school.
I think it will be both in person and virtual, so you can attend physically here at the school based on space limitations and distancing requirements, and we'll also be able to dial in virtually, so both options will be available.
Yeah, the in-person, we're just limiting it to about 25 people for now, just to maintain it at a conversational level, and then whoever wants to Zoom in can do so too.
Okay, thank you, Marianne. Any other comments from anybody that we got in? Again, we'll work to address the questions either live next week as well or via the frequently asked questions area on the website.
I just have one last quick question. That new shopping center coming up front, is that going to have any impact on the school, the traffic?
All right, so
patterns, that stuff?
I guess that's it for now.
Hold on. So the question was, the new center have an impact on the school?
I think that there was a comment in there related to space. So we own whatever land we own, and all the rest of the property is owned by a developer, and they're developing that. So we start from where like the kindergarten school is all the way down through academia and past academia, the buildings down there. So there's no more space for us to expand on campus absent buying, but we do have quite a bit of space down beyond academia. So if we wanted to create either fields or athletic facilities, there is space on campus to do that. But we'll be working on that as part of a strategic plan, planning committees that we'll be launching to look at the campus and the facilities and how we can use those and build those out as well too. So once we get those things launched, we'll be interested in looking for volunteers as well that want to help and sit on those committees as well too. But the land that we own is the land that we own right now.
I think Mr. Robinson has been trying to ask a question, but there seems to be a delay, and I think that we're not hearing him at the right time. But he tried to jump on again before and ask a question, I believe.
I think it was answered, so I appreciate it.
All right, thank you, everybody. So we're going to move into executive session for a brief executive session. A motion from anyone to do that?
I move to go into executive session.
We have a second.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you, everybody. We're going to move into executive session. So it's 7:58 p.m. We're back from executive session. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I so move.
Do we have a second?
Second.
I have a second. Yeah, we're recording. All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Any opposed? Any opposed? Thank you. So have a good night and a great week.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.